We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
I got to tell you, I like that. I do like that. Joe Lone Dibs, turn the game on.
I told Anna, I believe last time I was here, that I could actually work. I like that thing.
I do too.
It grows on you.
It does grow on you. Yeah. It grows on you. It's like... Costanza. Remember, as long as we're on the Seinfeld theme. You're listening to Matt Steinmetz, Daryl the Guru Johnson. We're filling in for Joe Lowe and Dibs today. And I got to tell you, now we're getting some grievances. How about this one? A Prius driver going 65 in the fast lane who will not move over. 65 is fast, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's a different fast.
For me.
Yeah. It's like, come on. You have to know. This is not, stay in your lane. And it's not the fast lane. Yeah.
I drive very slowly. I'll admit it. I just tuck into the right lane. I'm in the far right, and I'm going the speed limit, and you can go by me if you want.
Nobody cares, man. But after my accident, that's where I live, the slow lane. Even in the, you're all good. Nobody's trying to be, it's just my road.
Right.
Yeah?
Right. I don't like being in the right, and then somebody comes right up on you. It's like, I'm in the right because I adhere to the speed limit. And I think more people should, especially when we got rain out there. And the stopping distance shorten. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And
my kid, my little daughter snitches on me now. Mommy, daddy was speeding. And we'll have no conversations
really?
At all. I'm like, what do you mean? Out of nowhere, my wife's like Mario Andretti and I'm being irresponsible. And my little daughter, 11 years old, at the dinner table, mommy, daddy was speeding. And didn't say a word to me about it. And I just look at her like, what road were
so,
we? What wind?
So as long as we're talking about old TV shows, she's like Bobby Brady.
Well, there,
remember when Bobby
favorites.
Brady dropped dime on Greg for looking at the album cover while he was driving?
And he had
a slam on the brakes. And then, of course, he had to fulfill a wish, I believe, and Bobby went on a date with Greg.
What?
And the
Brady Bunch is great.
The things kids remember. That's all it gets us.
Annie, ready to hit the update?
I'm ready for
all right.
it here. All right, well, the Warriors were down 16 at the half. They woke up in the second half as Golden State rallied to beat the Nets 117-101, winning their sixth straight. Now, Draymond Green did not play. He was back in the Bay Area for the birth of his son. He is expected to play tonight in Detroit. Coverage starts at 3 right here on 95.7 The Game. Thursday Night Football. Giants had a chance to clinch a playoff spot but fell short. The Eagles take down the Giants 24-19. And with New York's loss, the Cowboys clinched the number one seed and home field advantage throughout the NFC. So congrats, Guru. Raiders, they're prepping for Christmas Eve matchup against Andrew Luck and the Colts. And Derek Carr on facing Indy.
After the game, I was so focused on Indianapolis because they have to win out, you know, to make the playoffs. So they got their back against the wall. And we know we've had our back against the wall a couple of times. We know we're going to come out and fight. And so that you have to expect that when they come in.
So the Raiders are hoping to give Raider Nation a win for Christmas. Kickoff at 1:05 on Christmas Eve. Good news, Kelechi Osemele returned to practice yesterday. Carl Joseph and Stacey McGee remain sidelined. 49ers and Rams, Jared Goff cleared concussion protocol, so he's on track to start tomorrow. And the Sharks host the Oilers at 7:30, brought to you by Kanya. Remember, December is December to remember. Watch parties are at Kanya. Treat yourself to $5 mojitos, $1 wings, and drink specials at the hottest Cuban parlor in the Bay. Remember Kanya. I'm Anna Kagadakis on your home for Oakland Raiders football, 95.7 The Game.
All righty. Kanya. I believe that has a tilde over
it
the end.
Does,
isn't that what
actually.
Those are called?
Yes.
Those little squiggly.
Sounds
and that
good.
Means it's a nye instead of a n.
Kanya.
I may be wrong.
I don't know.
One thing I'll find out is if I'm wrong on the text line.
Oh, yeah,
line.
It's coming.
They'll let
you
us
think
know.
It's coming? Yeah, the real Google. The text line, boy.
We're having a little fun with airing of some grievances on a happy Festivus day. If you're not
you know I don't
Festivus.
Speak Spanish.
If you're familiar with Festivus, it's an old Seinfeld show, and it was a classic. And let's go to Sonny in Union City. He wants to keep this a little sports-related.
Yeah.
What's up, Sonny?
Hope you guys are doing well.
Doing great.
Guru, I'm actually we have mutual friends. You frequent a bar that my family owned for years. We actually just sold it.
The Pepper Tree.
Yes, sir.
All right. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays to everyone.
I come in there and get pretzels.
These pretzels are making me thirsty.
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay, yeah.
What you got?
So my grievance, man, I've been hearing it all year long. I hear people calling in, getting on Musgrave, man, getting on our offense. We've had one of the top five offenses all year long. Musgrave is the man. He starts off slow in the games, but he does that to mentally play with people. He has you guessing he's going to do something, and then, you know, third quarter, fourth quarter, we drop that bomb when you're, you know, trying to jump the run. And the pinky might not be affecting Derek Carr's throwing hand, but it's affecting him not being able to get under center, which also makes us more predictable. You know what I mean? So that's definitely affecting our offense, but we're still winning. People need to get off Musgrave, man. That man needs a raise.
Yeah, I think the criticism is a little harsh on Musgrave, too. We should say that since Derek Carr got the pinky injury, he has not lined up under center yet.
Okay.
And Jack Del Rio was asked about it yesterday by the media, and he said, oh, I wouldn't read anything into that. We are just doing what we're doing to give us the best chance of winning. So he tried to deflect the situation, but clearly it's more comfortable for him to be in the gun. And maybe that does limit what they can do offensively.
Well, if we're at this juncture now, Matt, and the offensive coordinator comes out and says to the public and the football world, I need to give my best player more targets, then Houston, we got a problem. You shouldn't be saying that. You should be hitting your... And if we look, the Raiders are great, Matt. Talent's always going to rise to the top. My point is, we can look at the offensive numbers, just like you do for the Warriors, and say, you know what? There haven't been many games this season where both my stud receivers have gotten off and Derek Carr's thrown for 350 or 400 yards. It's either one of the two. And for this team to go far and get his ultimate goal, I feel like it's the coordinator's job to come up with a plan of attack to where it allows both of those guys to get off, man. If that makes any sense, man.
No, it does. But, you know, a lot of football is if one guy's not covered, the other guy's going to have a big game, right?
Yeah.
By the way, I've got a sports grievance.
No, go ahead.
And I saw it last night. And if you were watching the Warrior game, tell me if you saw it too. Because it was kind of subtle. And my grievance is when the Warriors, particularly Steph Curry, try to get a little too cute.
You talking about when he turned around on that shot?
On the corner shot?
And he missed it.
And he missed it. And he missed it. If you didn't see it, Curry had a shot from the corner. He took it, and then he turned around and stopped looking at it like he can sometimes do. And when it goes in, it looks really cool.
I feel like Steph is the Eddie Haskell of the league. Like, he's just so, you know, the baby face. He gets away with a lot of stuff to where, Anna, they would call other players cocky and look at this guy. But it's Steph, the shimmy. I mean, he does a lot.
I love him. But I think outside the Bay Area, Steph Curry's considered a hot dog.
All right, okay, gotcha. Yeah. I didn't look at it from those lenses.
I can see that. I mean, I have a lot of friends that in L.A., they actually love Steph Curry. They love Steph Curry, and they love Klay Thompson.
Right.
And, you know, one of my friends, big Laker fan, and she's one of the few people that sees it that way. But, yeah, I kind of get that sense that around.
The other thing I don't think people acknowledge enough is usually the teams that are most hated are also well-liked. Like, the Warriors are supposed to be the big villains now.
Okay.
But if you go to away arenas, they take over the arena, just like the Cowboys back in the day.
I got it.
Everybody used to hate the Cowboys, but they were America's team. Yeah. So there would be Cowboy fans in every city across the country.
And we saw it with the Jordan Bulls, you know? When you're the Beatles, when
Yankees,
you get that. Yeah.
You see it with the Yankees a lot. A lot of times they'll go into a visiting stadium, and the next thing you know, they take over half the crowd. Look at what the Raiders did in San Diego this past weekend.
That was just wild. I think a lot of that was them being in L.A., so I want to tell Charger Nation, don't take it too hard.
I mean, the game is in San Diego.
Yeah, I know, but it's not too far.
No, you're right.
Yeah,
right. About an hour and a half drive.
Yeah.
Well, it's usually more than that. I'll tell you what, you get down to San Diego, there's traffic. There's a grievance for you. I mean,
worse than here now?
Oh.
I think we've gotten worse, apparently. Apparently, I read a study that Bay Area is now worse than L.A.
I could see that. I mean, you can't get across the Bay Bridge right now without slowing down on the incline into the city.
It's terrible. Yeah. It's depressing and it's terrible.
What'd you think of the Warriors last night, Guru, without Draymond Green?
They got it done, Matt, but I wouldn't give them an A- by any stretch. I'll give them a B. And I want to ask you this. What did Kerr mean by the millennials that millennial comment. I didn't get that. Was he saying their mind was somewhere else in the first half, and then the second half they put the phone down? I didn't get it.
Well, I think
it went over my head.
I think it was his way of saying that for the most part last night the veterans came through. David West came off the bench and really helped them. Zaza Pachulia was very good in a starting role. He's been in the league over 10 years.
What's his best game?
Andre Iguodala, of course, was solid again. So I think what he meant by the millennials was Clay, maybe even Durant to a lesser extent, and Steph, Looney, of course, and anybody else. They got a young team. I'll tell you what, Kerr's, I mean, he's got it going on.
I mean, the
Bay Area guy you'd most like to have a beer with, it's got to be Steve Kerr, right?
That is a great question. Steve Kerr.
Who else is on that list? You can't put Derek Carr on that list.
I'm going to put McKenzie on that list.
Reggie McKenzie?
Yeah, I want to put McKenzie on that list.
I got to believe he can drink a few beers.
I say Jack Del Rio over McKenzie,
actually. Oh,
look at you. Really?
Yeah.
You got the guy. The person's got it. Like, I don't know. I may be wrong, but Derek Carr probably doesn't drink, does he?
I wouldn't be shocked.
I gotta believe, even if he does, he adheres to everything
drink,
in moderation.
Then I'll miss you. I need somebody that's gonna have a pop or two.
How about Draymond Green? He'd be pretty fun.
No, oh, yeah, we'd probably end up somewhere else. Yeah, see, yeah, Draymond, you're not just gonna sit down. Yeah, Dre is the man. Anna's actually getting some love. Grievance. Anna doesn't get enough credit. She is clearly co-hosting, but you guys keep saying Steinmetz and Guru. It's because she's a woman.
No, it's not.
Give her credit.
Come on.
I'll tell you, that's a fair point by the email. Some of it has to do with, I need to gather to say your last name sometimes.
You've been doing it phenomenal.
You did a great job.
I know. Anna Kakarakis.
See? Look at you. You did a very good job with it.
Well, thank you.
Anna
is to my left and Guru is across from me. And actually at 9 o'clock, we're going to be joined by Steve Kroner of the San Francisco Chronicle, and here's my barrier personality I'd like to have a beer with is Gianna Franco.
And
another one for Gary St. Jean.
Wow, two great ones.
I think Saint would rather have some red wine with you.
Oh, okay.
But nevertheless.
Saint will get after it. From the sounds of it,
A little bit.
He's always in a good mood.
Yeah, a little bit. Draymond Green didn't play last night, and the Warriors gave up 65 points in the first half.
Damn.
You see a correlation there?
Oh, yeah. There was no.
So did I.
Yeah, okay. So you know where we're going.
Yeah.
The watchdog was gone. Nobody was in the front yard. Yeah.
That's pretty funny.
Draymond.
That's not a bad.
Dude, he is.
That's not a bad nickname for him, the watchdog, because he keeps everybody in line.
Yeah, most definitely. And then, the other night, I was trying to tell you. I'm on my couch, like, Dre, just stop. When they gave him the technical and Steve went off, it was the home game. But then I'm like, that's what adds to his. His demeanor, that's what adds to who he is, his DNA, Anna. And I know sometimes you're like, is he making this stuff up just to have an antagonist to go off? But no, it's just who he is. And then he went out there, got a steal, put back a shot. And I'm just like, this dude is really just, he knows who he is. He knows what he wants to do. And I'm just sitting back enjoying it, man.
I mean, he is.
Give me another Draymond Green, Steiny.
What do you mean, around the league?
Every team, give me another Draymond Green or somebody that would even get the compliment of us putting them in the Draymond Green club.
Boy, in today's game?
Yeah.
That's a good question. Nobody's coming to my mind off the top of my head.
And that's why I'm saying this dude is just rising up my charts, Anna, to the top. Like, you know, I don't want to talk to KD. I know why God gave you all that. I see it. But Draymond is short instead. Just, you got heart, man.
The thing about Draymond is if he didn't have the edge that he has, he wouldn't be in the NBA. I mean, he just never would have made it. I shouldn't say the only reason, because it makes it sound like he's not talented. And, of course, he's talented.
We know.
But if he doesn't have that bark and that bite, I don't think he's nearly the player he is. I think we can all agree on that. And the question is, how often does he go over the line, but you got to live with that once in a while.
So does he get that from Mama Green?
I guess so.
Who comes on the airways? Did Coach Izzo help him develop that? I'm just wondering.
I think it comes from Mama Green.
Yeah, I believe it. Before he start playing ball, maybe.
Yeah,
yeah.
I think so.
Bruh.
I think so.
Yeah, day.
Because he was even at Michigan State, he was tough.
But see, I didn't think he was going to be what he is
now. Of course not. Nobody did.
Right.
Unless you're people on the text line, of course. They know everything.
Jay Billis, yeah.
So I'll tell you what, I don't want to gloss over Detroit, but I'm going to gloss over Detroit. We got the Warriors-Cavaliers on Christmas. It's an 11:30 start. All right? It's going to be a different kind of Christmas.
Like that. Yeah, don't I don't you? Like that, no.
Too but early. You're going to watch it,
oh,
right?
Oh, no, no. It's going to be taped. Yeah, DVR.
Oh, you're going to tape it?
Oh, I'd tape all the games.
But I mean, but you're going to watch it
oh,
live?
Oh, yeah, watch it live, yeah. I'll go back nighttime.
I got to believe that's a tough sell in some households, because you wake up, you open the presents, now it's about 10, now you like to spend time basically just hanging out with a family. You got to flip that TV on at 11:30.
No.
How's that going to go over?
That's going to be okay. That's you still late enough where the presents
so
are open for the little ones.
Right.
So you're okay. The only problem is that we're going to be going from one house to another during the game. So that's the only issue I have. But then I can listen to it on 95.7 The Game.
That's true.
So that's a good thing.
Guru, what time do your kids get up on Christmas?
Oh, well, this Christmas, you know, they think of phones in their future. So they'll probably be up about 5:45.
Okay.
Too early. But what we do is go to the in-laws. Everybody gets new pajamas. And we all put them on, and we wait, sleep in the same house. I get mad because I want to be at my house.
It was the day before.
The day before Christmas Eve.
Okay.
So we do open the presents there on Christmas, and then I'll come to the house, and I give that aura of, hey, the game's on. I'm here. Might not be fully engaged. Everybody's got their stuff. Let me go to work and just watch this game.
At your in-laws.
Yeah, at my in-laws.
I get
boring.
You. You know, I've always been curious about the people that open the presents on Christmas Eve. You know anybody like that?
We open one.
Do you?
We usually have do one gift on Christmas Eve and then the rest on Christmas Day. But this year we're also going to be spending Christmas Eve with my family and then Christmas Day at my husband's family.
Gotcha.
So
because
we'll
you're
going to
be running around a little bit.
So we'll open more presents on Christmas Eve.
No, I got to tell you, this back to Charles Barkley. Last night he said something that stayed with me. If you're over 18, you shouldn't get a gift on Christmas.
Oh, please.
No, but I thought about it, Maddie.
That is
terrible.
Basically
saying it's for the kids. And I thought to myself, like, I don't feel all the way, but I think I might come and pull up a chair in that class. Like, what are you expecting from Santa, Matt? You know what I mean? It's
right.
For the kids, right? And I'm not saying...
We do a gift exchange, so instead of buying for all the adults, we do one of those fun, like, white elephant gift exchanges.
Okay. Sure.
So it's more fun.
You know, a lot of people also do the midnight mass thing.
Okay,
and
no,
then
I
they
got
come
you.
Home and maybe open some right. then. I know people that open them all and they might sleep in a little bit the next day. But there's a lot of different traditions.
Yeah.
By the way, did you see what Barkley said about George Karl?
No,
we were talking about George Karl earlier
I mean,
if you're just joining us. He wrote a book and he just ripped Carmelo Anthony and J.R. Smith and Kenyon Martin. And in the back of the book, they have quotes from Gary Payton about, you know, what he thought of George Karl. Here's what Charles Barkley, they have this on the book. Here's what Charles Barkley said about George Karl. George Karl has always been one of my favorite coaches. Why? In Game 7 of the 1993 Western Conference Finals, I scored 44 points against his team and went 19 for 22 from the foul line. That's why I like him.
You and he gives the coach credit.
You gotta love Barkley.
He gives the coach credit.
What are you looking for in the Christmas game against Cleveland? Looks like no J.R. Smith for sure.
That bothers me.
And I guess
me.
Kevin Love has back spasms.
I think he'll be back, though.
Okay.
I think he was resting for this. But, Matt, I just want to see how difficult, or if it's even difficult without Bogut, for LeBron to get off.
Right.
And I'm thinking right now, Cleveland's problem is probably how are we going to stop them? But on the offensive end, it's going to be a continuance of what we saw the last three games in the finals.
Right.
So that's what I'm eager to see, is how difficult it is for Cleveland to score. Because I got to tell you, Kyrie Irving is a major star and gifted offensively along with LeBron. And the Warriors sometimes don't play the best D, Matt. So I'm curious to see. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game.
Darn!
Yeah.
And also a lot of texters saying in Mexican and Hispanic culture, Latinos, they celebrate on Christmas Eve.
I've never heard that.
I have heard that, and that now reminds me. So getting back to the Warriors game, you know why I'm looking forward to this game, Guru, is because I feel like the Cleveland Cavaliers are the only team in the league that thinks they're better than the Warriors. And that includes the Spurs, and that includes the Clippers and whoever else. Even the Spurs. It feels like the Spurs go into a game against the Warriors and say, all right, if we defend like we need to, defend that three-point line, we've got to execute offensively, and if we take care of our P's and Q's and we execute, we're going to be able to beat the Warriors. Cleveland's like, we're better. We're better. Kyrie Irving thinks he's better than Steph Curry. He does.
That's amazing.
I mean, he
really
does. There's no doubt about it. And he goes at Steph Curry. And for everybody who goes up against Steph Curry and says, man, you know, Steph Curry's a great three-point shooter, Kyrie Irving's first thought is, I'm going to get mine tonight. I am going to be able to score off Steph Curry. And then LeBron James feels like he's the best player on the floor. The reason I think that there's a lot of reasons, but one of the reasons I think the Cavaliers beat the Warriors last year was, for the most part, they had the two best players on their team, and it was LeBron and Kyrie, because Kyrie Irving outplayed Steph Curry in a lot of those games, and usually Steph Curry's the best player on the floor, but when they play Cleveland, he's not the best player on the floor. LeBron James is. Now, if they go back to the finals this year, maybe Curry will be the best player on the floor. He certainly has that capability, as does Kevin Durant. But I thought last year, with Curry ailing a little bit or fatigued or maybe not 100%, whatever you want to call it, LeBron James was the best player on the floor, and then he might have had the second best player on his team on the floor too in Kyrie Irving.
I want to agree 100% because the first four games, real quick, of that finals, the Warriors dominated. They were up 3-1. I won't go over what transpired and what happened to able Cleveland to win. It was the biggest bank robbery ever, the biggest heist in sports. But, Matt, I don't know if Cleveland, outside of those two without J.R. Smith, have enough. So I think this day, come Christmas, I'd be like, they might be starving for some points outside of LeBron and Kyrie. And that's why I'm leaning more towards the Warriors, because they're going to have an abundance. They're just going to be – and they're going to be revenge on their mind.
I think the other reason
they're going to have
the Cavaliers give the Warriors some trouble is because a lot of teams can't play – they're two big men against the Warriors' small lineup because they're just not skilled enough. But the Cleveland Cavaliers can play Tristan Thompson at center, and they can play LeBron James at power forward, and those guys are good enough to put on the floor at the same time against the Warriors' small unit, even though they're not traditional bigs. I mean, I just think that's where LeBron James comes in, and he can be a difference maker.
I'm excited. I cannot wait. And you'll be here doing the post?
I will, yeah.
So, again, you've already said it. Are you giving us the disclaimer that even if the Warriors were to lose by 20, you would just come on, turn on the on button and say, you know, it's just one game in Christmas. I think it's a big
game. No, I do. I think it's a big game.
Because it's the first time they're meeting with their new identities.
I think it's a big game. I think it's a big game because the Warriors have lost this year to the Spurs. They've lost to the Rockets. They've lost to
Memphis by 20,
and they lost to the Lakers.
Yep,
but three of
20.
Those four teams are good teams, really good teams. And now the Cavs are the best team in the East. And I think it'd be nice if they could beat a really good team, because they didn't beat San Antonio. And I don't consider the Clippers a contender anymore. I consider Houston more of a contender right now than the Clippers.
Yeah, and I believe they're more of a contender than the Spurs. The Spurs sold their soul when they got LaMarcus Aldridge, who is soft as tissue paper.
Really?
So I'm telling you right now, the Spurs are no threat to the Dubs. He has ruined that team, Matt, and Popovich won't come out and say it, but last night he was trying to play as physical as I've ever seen him, because Pop is tired, LaMarcus, of him shooting that. Get in there.
Although I'll
we
say
need
this.
Somebody. Did you see Tim Duncan play? I'm telling you, that was a bad signing by the San Antonio Spurs, man.
I will say this, though. He did play very well opening night against the Warriors, LaMarcus Aldridge. Draymond Green usually is very effective against LaMarcus Aldridge, but Aldridge did all right that game. All right, when we come back, we're going to visit with Kalena Azubuike. He's the color man, and also he works for, actually, mostly he does pre- and post-game for Comcast Sportsnet Bay Area, former Warrior. You're listening to Matt Steinmetz and Daryl the Guru filling in for Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to Football Fridays. Here's Joe Lowe and Dibs.
Joe Lowe and Dibs, turn the game on.
Pump up for you. It's time to play ball. With Joe Lowe and Dibs, turn the game on.
I gotta tell you, I like that. I do like that. Joe Lowe and Dibs, turn the game on. Who was that Dibley?
That was Gale. Hurricane
Gale.
Oh,
that was Gale.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Hurricane Gale. I met Gale.
That was Gale. That was Gale. This from the text line real quick. Clippers are a team that just beat the Spurs, so yeah, they aren't a good team. LOL. I didn't say they weren't a good team. I said I don't consider them a contender because the Warriors have beaten them about 63 times in a row. All right, now joining us, he's the Warriors television analyst and also the Warriors radio analyst, former NBA player, Kalena Azubuike. You can follow him at Kalena Azubuike, although you're going to have to spell it yourself. What's going on, Kalena? How you doing?
I'm great, man. How's everything going?
Going well. The Warriors played, obviously, last night without Draymond Green. Did you notice a difference?
Yeah, their defense wasn't as good. The Brooklyn Nets came in that game not shooting a great percentage from three-point range or their field goal percentage, but they shot it amazing in the first half. They were on fire. They got to the basket, and we talked about one of the things that the Nets do well before the game was get a lot of points off drives, and we felt like that's where the Warriors would miss Draymond Green because he's so good at helping on drives, and that's actually shoot a lot of free throws. And we saw some of that in that first half. They got to the basket in different ways. They hit threes, which was uncharacteristic for them. They shoot a lot of threes, but they normally don't make that many, but they're actually making them last night in the first half. And in the second half, it seemed like the Warriors came out and weren't very satisfied with the way they played the first half, especially Kevin Durant came out on fire, had that huge dunk, and really fired up his team. He had 11 points in that third quarter. Klay had 11 points in that third quarter. And that was pretty much all she wrote. And they erased a 16-point deficit. If someone's looking at that game and just looking at the box score at the end, they'll be like, oh, the Warriors won
right
by 16 or whatever it was. But they won't realize the Warriors got off to a bad start, and they were actually down by 16 at the half. So that's the way to bounce back in that third quarter and on to the fourth. And the Warriors still didn't shoot an amazing percentage like they're capable of, but their percentage shooting came up a little bit from three-point range. Their field goal percentage was better. They forced turnovers. I think they forced 26 turnovers. Like, that's a ton of turnovers, even for the Nets. I think they're a pretty high turnover team, but that's even way above their average. So great performance in that second half there.
Kalena, I heard you on the radio broadcast. Good job, man, and keep up the good work on TV. Now,
I appreciate that.
Yeah, no problem. Now, a lot of people, I am personally looking forward to this Cleveland matchup on Christmas. I know they got a game tonight, but you played the game. The Warriors lost a 3-1 lead to Cleveland. They just got KD, and I feel like you can't tell me it's not going to mean more on Christmas, because a lot of people, Matt and I, are going back and forth that it's just 1-82. How do you feel? You know, what's the pulse of the team? Is there a message they want to send to the Cavs?
It's hard not to be a little more excited to play the Cavs than you are the Detroit Pistons or the Brooklyn Nets. It's just human nature. But I think one of the big things they're focusing on is just making sure they prepare the same way for the Cavs like they would any other team. Obviously know their personnel. They know these guys better, so it's a little easier in that regard, knowing your personnel. But they'll be excited to play. I don't think in their minds they're thinking that it means way more than any other win this season, because a lot of the focus, too, is making sure you're playing your best ball at the end of the year and you have a nice momentum at the end of the year. And just because you may beat a team in the regular season doesn't mean you're going to beat them in the postseason. We've seen that play out in the past. So they realize how big this game is on the worldwide scene and all that stuff, but they're trying to make sure they prepare the same way and not come out and be uncharacteristic because they're playing a well-known opponent in a nationally televised game and all these different things. Prepare the same way. And that's fine. You can be more excited about the game and come out and play extremely hard and really be focused and try to get a win and send a message. And all those things are great, but just come out and prepare the same way. And I think that's what the Warriors are focused on.
Warriors television analyst and radio analyst Kalena Azubuike joining us on 95.7 The Game. The one thing I think about the Cleveland Cavaliers, Kalena, and you can tell me if you agree or not, is I feel like they're the only team in the league that thinks they're better than the Warriors. Even when I think about the Spurs or the Clippers or the Rockets, I feel like those are teams that go into a game saying, all right, well, here's what we got to do to beat the Warriors. For some reason, I just think Cleveland thinks we're better than the Warriors.
I think they do too. And I'm not really surprised because they did beat them for the championship. They came back from 3-1, and that's the swag and the confidence the champion has. Like, they're thinking, we're the best until you knock us off the throne. And right now they're on the throne and they're playing pretty good basketball. They hit like a little slump there for a second, or a plateau, whatever you want to call it, but they're still the champs. And until you knock them off, they're going to have that swagger and that confidence that you have to beat us and we're still better than you. And that's one of the reasons I don't think this game means a ton, just because I don't think their attitude is going to change if they lose a close game to the Warriors, or even if they just lose, period. I think they'll still feel that way until the postseason, until the Warriors prove them wrong. And they're going to play with that confidence the whole season, no matter who they play against. So it'll be an exciting game to watch, and I'm looking forward to it. They got some great players. It seems like one of the bigger things for the Cleveland Cavaliers is they've included Kevin Love more in the offense. And Tyronn Lue, one of the things that he was focusing on before the season was trying to take advantage of what they have in Kevin Love. They didn't feel like they got the most out of him last year and out of what he can do. So they're posting him up more, giving him more touches. He's been playing really well, making threes, and looking more like he looked when he was with the Minnesota Timberwolves. So that's one of the reasons I think they're better as well. And then they've been pretty good defensively and all those different things. So it'll be a tough matchup for the Warriors, but an exciting one. And both teams are really looking forward to the challenge.
Now, Steph had 5 fouls last night. And I told Matt, I don't remember in past years, you know, him fouling out or coming that close to fouling out. And, you know, he kind of said he didn't, you know, notice it that much. Do you think that's just me overanalyzing it? Or are you seeing anything with Steph's personal defense, individual defense?
Not really. I thought he was wonderful defensively last game. He was one of the guys that brought the energy on that end and the intensity. And I just think a lot of the fouls he got were him being a little over aggressive, which I don't think the Warriors mind. They'll just be like, hey, just be careful. We don't need you fouling out of games. But he did get a good amount of steals and got deflections. And a lot of the steals he got were turned into buckets on the other end. They started fast break opportunities and transition points out of those. So I really thought his defense was really good last game. He ended up with 5 steals, I think it was. So,
yep.
Yeah, so I really thought he was one of the guys that sparked that third quarter erasing of the 16-point deficit. And I think if he keeps bringing that energy, just tempered with being a little cautious and making sure he doesn't foul out of the game because he knows his team needs him, then I think he's okay. I don't think it's something that the Warriors need to really worry about. He's just trying to be more aggressive on that end and get some more steals and do what he's really good at, which is playing the passing lanes. He's got quick hands, active hands. So I liked it.
Kalen, as always, good stuff. We really appreciate you joining us.
Thank you.
All right, man. Appreciate y'all having me.
All right. That's Kalena Azubuike, the Warriors television analyst and also the radio analyst. You can follow him at Kalena Azubuike on Twitter. All right. When we come back, we'll air some more grievances. Maybe we should make them sports grievances.
Nice.
Maybe some sports grievances since it is Festivus. And then also, the one thing we haven't talked about, Guru, is what pro athletes or pro sports figures are getting coal in their stocking this Christmas? You got some?
Yeah, I got a few.
All right. You're listening to Matt Steinmetz and Darryl the Guru Johnson on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Football Fridays. Here's Joe Lowe and Dibs.
All right. Matt Steinmetz and Darryl the Guru Johnson, along with Anna Kakadakis, filling in for Joe Lowe and Dibs. By the way, the beginning of that song, believe it or not, to me, sounded a little bit like Bad, Bad Leroy Brown.
Remember that song? I thought that's where it was coming in.
Well, the south side of Chicago.
And then, I was wrong.
It's the baddest part of town.
Yeah.
All right, it's 8:45, which means the ticket window now open. Here's your chance to win a pair of tickets to see Chris Tucker live at the Warfield on Saturday, February 4th. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com and AXS.com. But you got to answer a trivia question, and here it is. What was the name of the Colts campaign for Andrew Luck in 2011? What's the name of the Colts campaign for Andrew Luck in 2011. Guru, you might know that. Do you know that?
No, I don't.
Really?
No.
Anna knows.
Remember, I do.
Wow, look at Anna. I'm not sure. I could have lied, but I don't do that on air.
I guess you call in. I always do.
Oh, no.
Once you hear, you'll remember.
Okay. Yeah. All right. You got to lie on air.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We're talking a little bit about Festivus and about who's getting coal in their stocking. We're airing some sports grievances. Here's a little sports grievance that I have, Guru, and I'm not digging it, is the amount of fouls called on three-point shooters now. We both agree that the three-point shot is being taken too much. The only thing worse than a three-point shot is a guy getting fouled on a three-point shot. That's just one of my grievances. Too many fouls. And similarly in the NFL, there's too many penalties now. You can't watch a play without thinking there's going to be a flag.
Yeah, see what I'm saying? I don't even celebrate. There's a new scoreboard for me. Right where the score is at, where that little drop down with the flag, I'm like, yeah. And then I go celebrate. But yeah, it's too much, along with the commercials. I mean, it's out of control right now.
Anna?
I think it's crazy right now, too. I just feel like everybody's getting fouled like crazy or just... there's too much, too much with the celebrations right now. The no fun league is just driving me crazy right now. That's a big grievance.
Games are taking too long, too.
Yeah.
Too many stoppages in all sports. I don't like in the NBA either, the replay.
Well, with this new social media, that bothers me. I'm never anywhere watching a sporting event to where I look at my clock and say, my watch and say, it's going on too long. That's my getaway, my serenity. But it's the phone, it's the Twitter and the tweets and all that. I got to get up and get to the next spot. I'd rather just enjoy where you're at. I've never said this is taking too long.
Really?
And that's the beauty of baseball. You don't know if you're going to be there an hour and a half. You don't know if you're going to be there 4 hours. But this guy, for me, Matt, I love just, being in tune with the game and watch it play itself out. But never,
So do you watch games live?
Yeah, I do that. Or if I can't get to them, I'm in my kid's game or whatnot, I'll tape them, hide from the phone in the world, and then go back and watch. Well, I guess when I do watch them back.
See, I like to get, especially in football.
I condense it.
In football, I like to get about 20 to 30 minutes behind. And then you can go through the stuff between plays.
Yeah.
That's what I like to do.
Or just do Red Zone. A lot of people are now watching on Red Zone. That's the other thing. You just constantly watch the scoring plays.
Something about that I don't
like. I feel
like
you're missing a lot of the
game.
That's
me too.
Like my father thinks he has the package. I'm like, Dad, you don't have the package. Oh, I can watch all the games. I'm like, no, you're not seeing everything you think you are. But it's okay with him because he feels like he's abreast on everything that's going on.
Yeah.
And a guy like me, I need to actually have the game in its full entirety to feel like, okay, hey, I can go all around the NFL right now.
Gotcha. We have a winner for the Chris Tucker tickets. It's Lewis in Daly City, and the campaign, remember, Guru, was Suck for Luck.
Wow. How could I forget?
I wasn't.
They definitely did that.
They what got were their they prize. That year? 2-14, something like that?
Yeah.
1-14? I mean, 1-15? 2-14, yeah, that's what I thought.
So there is hope for the Niners.
They're terrible.
There's just no luck in the draft.
Well, they might not get the first pick. I'll tell you what bothers me is when people say the Niners shouldn't win more games because they'll get a worse draft pick. It's like when you're the 49ers, whether you get the second pick or fourth pick, it doesn't matter. You need players.
And you've lost 100 straight. I mean, the history and tradition with this team, I mean, forget the draft and all the nerds. What about the people that just have pride and they're tired of seeing their team lose? Every Sunday, it's out of control. They need a win, and if they can't get one against L.A., I hope they don't, just 15 in a row. That would be terrible.
It's hard to watch these games now.
It's
really hard. It's painful.
Because the novelty of watching Kaepernick's now over. I think Kaepernick, watching him in the first few games, was interesting to see how he was going to do. The other thing I can't stand was people say, oh, the Niners should tank, or they're tanking. You're not good enough to tank. This
well,
is like
that
who they
game
are,
that
man.
They went no T, Matt. There was some questionable play calling. I felt like that was
Here's the other thing I always think of. All right, so you're on the 49ers and you're an NFL player, and you realize if you lose, you're going to bring players in at a high pick.
All right.
Well, you don't want that. I mean, if you're a fringe player, you need to win games. Like nobody, there's never been a player that has quote unquote tanked. Now, a coach, a front office, That's different. A coach will say, you know, I mean, let's face it. If
conservative game plan.
You know, if you're the Golden State Warriors, let's say, and I know it's crazy, and you wanted to get a high draft pick, I mean, you'd say, you know what, let's try Zaza Pachulia at point guard tonight. Let's have him bring up the ball. All right? Now, he's still going to do the best he can, but you're going to end up losing, probably. That's the way to tank.
Yeah.
And they have more control over it, too, and it benefits the front office and the organization, the head coach more. I have one, though.
Yeah, give it to me.
NCAA football committee. We go all crazy all season long about these BCS rankings and the playoffs, and then we have to wait 30 days for the bowl game. And that just, to me, it's over. You know, I'm going to be tuned in. But they got to find a way to capitalize on the momentum of all this excitement about who's in, who's not. And then we just wait 30 days before we find out the results. That is maddening to me. And there's some way, somehow, it's got to be fixed. Because you cannot just pick up right where you left off. I just think it's shameful. Is it just me, or is there any validity to that? Capitalize on it right when you guys come out and announce who it is. The Super Bowl, we wait no more than 2 weeks, and to me that feels like an eternity. But this college bowl thing is just out of control.
You don't like the bowl games
no.
on New Year's Day?
No.
And I don't like the bowl games extending to January 9th.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I can't stand.
New Year's Eve is terrible, too, by the way.
Yeah, that's got to go.
No, you're not digging it?
Not New Year's Eve. People are going out.
I don't like New Year's Eve either. By the way, the bowl season's about to get very interesting,
I think.
Obviously, Christian McCaffrey sitting out the Sun Bowl.
We're going to talk about that.
Now, let's talk about it right now. I got to tell you, I have no problem.
What?
I have no problem with it, believe it or not. I know, and I see both sides. To me, it's split right down the middle. I just happen to be on McCaffrey's side.
So you're like Carmelo Anthony then. You're the individualist that it's not about the team, the commitment, the work we put in the off season, the brotherhood, the camaraderie. It's
correct.
Just about, hey, you know what? You're thinking about, hey, this is you're better than us, and you're just going to go on and not play. I mean, to me, that's just a slap in, you know, I'm a team guy. That's just a slap in his teammates' face.
You ever
of putting something in the future, you know, in front of what we started and what you've been a part of. And it's not like McCaffrey, if you're listening, you're Marshall Faulk and you're going to go in the top
three. He's pretty
three
good, pick. Though. He's pretty good. He's getting
he's
drafted.
He's going to go second, third round.
You think?
Come on. He's not a top five pick. That's what I don't get.
Tough guy to pass on.
That where we're at now? It's all about my future.
Well, let me. Here's
there's
here's
a lot of money
I
on the line.
This. Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
That's a lot of money.
And I'm just saying. Okay. Have you ever heard of a player named Scotty Thurman?
No, I haven't.
And there's a reason you haven't heard of Scotty Thurman. Let me tell you about Scotty Thurman. Scotty Thurman was a junior who played at Arkansas, and he played with Corliss Williamson and those guys, and they won the national championship, and he was a junior. And he thought about coming out. He had a good tournament, thought about coming out, thought about not coming out, thought about coming out. And then he said, you know what, I'm going to go back to school. And I was like, oh, Scotty Thurman, what a great guy. He's going to go back. You know what? He stunk his senior year. He never got drafted, ever. Never made it to the NBA. He would have gotten drafted had he come out as a junior. He would have probably been a first-round pick, late first round, but he would have gotten that guaranteed contract. He would have gotten a three-year, $3.5 million contract, but he didn't. He went back.
Yeah, but I can look at that two ways. Whoever would have drafted Scotty Thurman wouldn't have got what
Scotty would have gotten.
Yeah, you're right. But Jalen Smith, Notre Dame, he got injured in the bowl game, and his draft status went down. You know, he could have got paid a lot more money than he did with the Cowboys. So I do get it, but I don't understand. I don't think it's that much to where it should supersede your commitment to the college and what they've given to you, the form for
what
you.
What have they given?
Their promise for an education and the ability to play every Saturday football.
Yeah, see, I think that give and take is imbalanced. I think the players end up giving the college more than the college gives the players.
I mean, and you know, me having kids now, it's almost like we're, you know what, just forget about the CYO. Forget about we'll get you a personal trainer. You know, we're getting to that. That's where it's going. I mean, come on, go play the damn game. It's four quarters. If it's meant to be, it's meant to be. But come on.
Let's take worst case scenario, and he tears an ACL. Then what? Then what?
You got me there.
What would you tell your son? What would you tell him?
Yeah,
to
what
do?
Would you tell your son?
I'd probably tell him to sit out. I'd probably say, Johnny, you know what? If you have the ability to get drafted, you know, no insurance policy or whatnot. But my point is, how many examples do we have of that to where, you know,
I think we're going to have more
justified.
Of it. I think we're going to have more of it.
But how do we? What makes you say that? We got Jalen Smith last year, the stud with Notre Dame, got hurt in a bowl game. Not just hurt, he tore up his just everything, nerve damage. But I just
here's what I think. I think if how many bowls are there? 30 something. It's a joke.
A million.
Is it a joke? It's a joke.
Right, but it's a game. It's a game that the rest of his teammates are going, Matt.
Give me the college playoff, four or eight teams, and that's it. And that's it. I think this. I'll tell you what I think could happen. I think some college players, football players, could start essentially dictating what happens during the bowl season. I mean, they've got a lot of control here
that they have not utilized.
I think so. Yeah, I think so. And the whole teammate text line here says, if you end up tearing an ACL, you'll end up getting drafted by the 49ers. It's a good
nice.
One. I like that
That's
one by the text
nice.
Line. Of course,
nice
referring
there.
To Trent Baalke's, yeah. some of his long shots. I mean, I get the teammates thing, but I'll bet you his teammates don't begrudge him sitting out that game. And I know whoever the backup running back is loving it.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't want to say greedy. It just, like, one game, one more game. And it's like, what's the guy that plays the sports? Oh, I don't want to get hurt. That's when you get hurt. When, you know, come on, live life, finish your commitment. And, you know, you've worked all that blood, sweat, and tears with your teammate. And to say I'm not going or I'm not going to play because I'm worried about my status on the next level, it's just hard.
You know who else kind of fits into this category? It was Kyrie Irving. He did not play many games at Duke. I want to say like 8 or 10.
Okay.
He was hurt. And the point is, in basketball now, it's almost the less they see of you, the better. Because the more they see you, the more exposed you get. All right, we're going to take a break right now. Coming up in a minute, we're going to have Bill Romanowski. We're also going to be joined by Steve Kroner of the San Francisco Chronicle for the last hour. You're listening to Steiny and the Guru, and we're sitting in for Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
They can kick anybody's ass. Period.
You hear me, man?
These raindrops are tears of joy for California.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.